But the method is never told what to do to overcome the pain, other than thy will be done, let go, let God, or consult the oracle as a means to act. And the pain is essential as a means to develop strength or immunity. If you never had any kind of a confrontation, there's no way for the immunity to develop. That's why your wise men that come back, and after they realize, they only offer us one process, one technique, and that is to go through it. They don't know of any way that you can get around it, and they don't know that you can postpone it or eradicate it. They only know that the highest process is to go through. That's why they say, in all confidence, pick up your cross and follow me, but don't pick up mine. And for that reason, each one is born to experience his or her horoscope, the scope of the horror of the process of going through it, and not to be afraid of it. And for any consolation in it is overcoming the unconsciousness of it. To him that overcometh, I will not send forth a second time. What is it you have to overcome? Right, and being unconscious of it. See, you can't become unconscious of the me you. The I is constantly reminded by the me, because B will always be there presenting the bill. So I, and me is the bill. So for that reason, we gain this by the process of going through. For him that overcome the me, he won't have to go forth again to do it all over. There is no more me to clean up. But look at it another way. When there is no more me to clean up, would be satisfied? B will not be satisfied. You know why? No. B itself would be bored and start again creating an I to give it freedom to generate a use for me. Me would emerge again from the bee. That's how come let us make man in our own image and likeness, male and female created them, and breathed breath of life into man, and man became living soul. Bee cannot stay stagnant or non-active. It must create. So even it creates I as a form of expression for itself, and give I total freedom of individuality to squander away its existence, and to confront it with the bill of squandering. Yet if me was to phase out and no more me exists, and only I and B will be forced to generate a me. would not able to function, because I and me alone would not operate properly. Then me will have to come back as a third function. So you see, there is no way for you to be unconscious, and there is no way for you to be non-existing, non-immortal. You are already immortal. And when you lock in to the immortalness of yourself in the I state, me state, and be state, you are unified. Free man, all lord of yourself. You have full control of be, me, I. That is what it's all about. Health is B-I-B.
Yes.
Now you call it beam, I-beam.
I-beam.
You learn them. So you light up. That's your misfile data and the reruns of me. And so I and me are busy talking to each other in the sleep. But who is sleeping? The I, the me, or the be? That
me.
The me.
The me.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
the action.
That's
the memory.
Why does it respond? Why does it respond?
Why does it what?
Respond.
Why doesn't it respond?
Why does it?
Why does it respond?
If it doesn't have any contact with me, how does it respond?
Me responds because B uses it to confront I. B stores me and stores I. And I has no place to operate in without B. I could not come out into existence before B. So for that reason, me is already existing with I, and both are stored in B. Then B is greater than I and greater than me. But B is totally helpless without I and the me operating it. Even though it stores it, B would be useless and serve no purpose. Therefore, it craves exchange and interaction between I and me. So, who needs your love? B, I, or me? Which of the three needs the love?
B.
Good.
Well, wouldn't B be the love? Wouldn't that be, if the B is neutral, wouldn't that be the heart space? Is it the heart chakra that's neutral?
Yeah, but it needs love more.
That's your seat of love.
Yes. And I can ignore it. And I can only be reminded by being through the me. But B is in the anguish always to assure I that it will always be there.
Oh. This way then, B is almost like the soul that is not touched, but is touched.
Now you sing the song what we sang today.
Right.
Yeah.
Listen to my heart
song.
I will not forget you and I will not forsake you. It's B that sings the song and guarantees the assurance to I that the me principle is there to back it up. But never I gonna sing to B and tell it, because I doesn't have anywhere to fall back on. And I would be lying to itself that it can tell B, you know, never forsake it or forget it. Lord, I will go off and squander off. But B is the principle that cannot let down I, but it will always remind I of what it's doing by presenting it with me. I say, look at me, see, this is your behavior. But it can't withdraw. So for that reason they say God needs your love more than you realize. But in order to keep you fooling yourself, they tell you, you need God more. Well, does this glass need me more than I need the glass? What? The water would be on the floor. So who made the glass? Though the glass is fragile if I let go of my hands from it, right? Who's going to complain now? The glass going to complain, you smashed me up? No, I complain to myself how clumsy I am for dropping the glass. Now I made a fragile object. Do you see why we say we could never save? How can you literally save the ego or the vices if you're not going to forsake or forget? Not possible. It's automatically you're gonna, but the creative intelligence that put the whole thing together is the one that is assuring the object that it's not letting it down. I'm not gonna drop you on the floor. I'm gonna keep you clean and all. So
misapplied decisions are made by I, but me has to face the suffering too.
Exactly. That's why there really aren't any scars permanent in B.
Right.
There are no permanent scars.
The scars are memory.
Right.
Me.
So if the heart is neutral, which way does the I and E go as far as top to bottom?
The me, the heart is neutral. The I is the upper part from your cervical pituitary to the top of the head. And the me goes from the lumbar sacral to the coccyx. And B is heart, right central. So the pure in heart, you get it?
So I puts the stuff in, me has to face the consequences.
That's right.
Okay.
And the anguish is in the B.
The B.
If you're going to pass it out or not pass it out. I'm your friend.
Oh, that's good.
So this is the realization we live with. Then we are functional, and hiyalte, our health, is all there is. Now the real love of God is the healthiness of your beingness. Because I, me, and B are all flowing together as one synchronized unit. The divinity. Right, exactly. So you're not no longer torn up with possessions, you're no longer torn up with a self-image that I'm brown, black, yellow, male or female, or no. I breed, therefore I am. I relate, therefore I retain. And I share, therefore I'm everything. And for that process now, your creativity starts to flow, because B is creativity, and B is self-sustaining. And here's the interesting phenomenon. God isn't punching no clock. He's punching customers. And he's resting one day a week. So for that reason, when you look at yourself in that aspect of service, your creativity opens up for you. But if you don't, and you're only looking at the clock to punch, then creativity in you starts to fade down. And you get locked in only to the eye. Then the anguish builds up in the eye. Because there's nowhere for you to satisfy eye under those circumstances. But if you phase out that particular attitude and get back to the creative consciousness of the medium that allows you to express your creativity, then your work appears in.
Deeper than you thought.
Yes.
Since Eliot taught us that book, The Incorruptibles, we become fascinated with some of the saints that stop eating. What happened? When you were talking earlier about the blood types and the need for the fiber and the tissue, what happens when that type of consciousness, you know, is developed to where, you know, the need for the food that we eat, not of the ether or the air? What happens? How is that transformation?
The transformation is in three ways. Soul and nutrition, the fifth rule is live to eat in order to live not to eat. This is a rational evolution which is observed by the way the structure of society is moving from the child to the adult. When the adult doesn't want to eat anymore, they just phase down lesser and lesser. But that's a progressional phase out based on illness. It's not a phase out by the body's ability to build up its own allergens and phase off the need of eating. You see, what you're doing, the non-eating state due to illness, that's one of the handicaps of it. When it goes through its normal process of phasing down on its own, then it switches over at 3 score and 10 into a natural breatharian function. It's already built into the DNAs and RNAs to do that. Well, we don't know that till we go through it. And a lot of people at the second dying of the centuries to find this particular phenomenon. That's the rational progression. But God doesn't have no overnight emancipation of society. God has what is called an individualistic process of emancipation for society. So each person has his own time to his own horoscope. That is, to make the breakthrough. And in one lifespan, you have 3 periods, 30 to 35, 45 to 65, and 85 to 95 in one lifespan, you will make this transition if you work through it. The purpose behind is to let the human being realize that if he abstains by an injury or or if he abstained by some kind of illness, this is an imposition of his own willpower. If he decides that the lifestyle is not possible and certain conditions came to impose it upon him and forces him to have to give up eating in a calamity or otherwise, then he finds himself adhering to an abstinence process. Now, these are valid self-imposed abstinence or injuries. But the third process is the progressional natural law of phasing out of it and experiencing it. The abstinence and the pain-induced conditions, they will always be popping up as means to put us into that level. But then when we deviate, we have the consequences again. A person can abstain and then go off. A person can hurt himself and then go off, but then he may come back. When you're progressionally phasing out, this is naturally occurring within you, so then the body is accepting this process of phasing out. So the breatharian process is your actual destination. But some people come into it through dedication and working with a lot of ill people. They make a sacrifice that the ill person needs the food more than them, or they make a sacrifice to that people. You have a question to this? But that would be the situation. You can abstain, or you can be in an injury situation, or the natural progression. Now, not many people can abstain. Not too many people get an injury. But the natural progression is for everybody. But the first two, everybody will pass through. Pain and the desire to abstain because you're sick. As I say, if you eat food and you get sick, and I offer it to you again, you don't want it, and you can carry on for 3-4 days, you're going to abstain. That's the rational way. Nature will provide those opportunities for you to make decisions along that way. But then if you understand how it's working already.
There's a commonality.
That's what you're observing. You see, the holistic life, or the sane life, is what they call saint or sante health. We haven't come any further than words we're saying to ourselves, that man has and continues to look for the holistic way of living, and he has to come through the avenues of pain in many different ways, and non-eating state is obvious to pain. That's one of the most obvious therapy there is. I was sick even when I was going in with pain bone. I didn't want to touch food. Even if I didn't eat the bad food to make me sick. It's a funny phenomenon. You just don't have a craving for food when the body's in aches and pains. So this is you'll see as the case histories are gathered up, many of them made the transition to the non-eating state and the non-breakdown state by the intense pain or intense illness. Well, put it this way. If the bacteria in you wants to eat you, and you don't give him nothing to eat through your mouth, will he get anything to eat? The rest of the fellas inside, they can do what? Well, if they're starving because you don't put in anything, what are they going to turn around and do to this fellow who's eating them? Yeah, right. That's exactly nature's law of allopathic medicine and homeopathic medicine. You see, she has to have both laws to work inside. The very same force field eliminates the intruder, the disruptive force. So these are great ones who became sane realize that if they didn't put in anything and lie down there or kneel down there and pray for the release, but the endorphins will go to work. They got to. Even at that time they didn't know the endorphins. Today we know that our body's own immune level exists. Well, what is comical about it, even though it exists, and they're placed there for our well-being, they got to be tricked to work for us. That's how come there's the research going on right now. Man essentially is a liar to himself 99% of the time. And it is. That's why they're studying this particular phenomena in the bloodstream. That he needs some kind of a illusion to trigger him.
If you mind.
Yeah, right. He needs something like that to trigger him into the action. That's why there's no commandment, thou shalt not lie. It makes more sense as a valid statement of a valid. You can't really trigger your brain from the time you cut the cord to breathe unless you put some kind of a stimulus to trigger it. So it would be highly impractical to ask God to tell the first pair, go ahead, enjoy yourself, multiply. What they're gonna do? They don't have any way to, they don't have an experience to refer to or to relate to before as a memory bank how to multiply. They couldn't trigger multiplication from themselves. They couldn't trigger enjoy, because if you never had anything put in the computer, how it's going to play it back? So for that reason, you begin to see how unique a process this creative intelligence set the thing in motion for the drama to go on. And if the creative intelligence as B is not present in his own creation, taking on a form, the form representing I and me would not operate, or couldn't operate. Just I, me, would be impossible to operate without B sustaining it. You have to have B, totally neutral, containing I and me to make it function. And the game is between the I and the me, not with the B. The B is sitting back, allowing I and me to play this crazy game of do and don't do and correct. So that's how we begin to realize how well it was organized. And when you realize it, then you begin to appreciate the creative self, because there is no other great or glorious contribution to the creative self than to live in synchronous harmony with it. You see it right away that I, me, be makes more sense in living in and out. And the tomorrows and the yesterdays are no real threats, or they're not necessary to aggravate the brain anymore. Living in and now, acting in and now, serving in and now, is sustaining itself. But we have to come to it. We have to make the mistakes to build up the immunity, build up the strength to want to relate to it in the present. If we don't have it, we can't. There's no way. You couldn't ask a child to do something he never learned. And even when they say, you know, I like that statement, when everything else fails, follow the instructions. How are you going to follow instructions? Where are you getting it right? Is it a, where will you get instructions? So it has to be there before, waiting for you to do it.
Going back to what you said, male and female will create Eve. Male and female then were created before Adam and Eve.
Yes. See, if you go back to the Bible writing, you see there are two creations. That's what Edward mm-hmm. Casey made the reference to. Most of us do not understand it. Why he came back as Edgar Casey, he was actually Amun Ra, he was Ra, the great high priest. Mm-hmm. And he came back to teach men and remind men of the principles of creation. But he himself pointed out that there were two creations, the actual creation of the universe with the Big Bang and the men emerging out and going out to function, and then the Garden of Eden is more of a focal point of behavior for men. And that's how Yukteswara also came along and told Yogananda. And Yogananda couldn't see why would God punish the first two pair of people for having done something which they couldn't help do but had to do. So what are you going to punish them for? You see? They had to do it if they didn't want to do it. So he couldn't see they being punished, and he asked Yukteswara. Yukteswara told him the thing is allegorical. Had nothing to do with what he tells. But then when you bring it into a functional health process, we can narrow it down now that all life forms operate with certain blood types as a measuring process to give them individuality and lifestyle so they can have something to interact. So a creative being giving individuality to its creation set up the four types as a reminder process to interact. So it had to build a body that would interact 90% of the time with fiber and just 10% or 1% of the time on a tissue. If it made it totally tissue, to rely on tissue all the time, wouldn't be practical. And that's why Miyakushi, when he came along with macrobiotic, he didn't find 100% tissue eater, and he didn't find 100% fiber eater. But he sure found that the chemistry was 80-20 to be normal. And that's what's so unique about it, that if you stay within the chemical normality of the body, everything is flowing on time. So we have ways to validate it or measure it by litmus limit, but that is an indicator that the organism is working its best good to stay at that. And the extremes are not. Well, we wouldn't know it if we never went through it, like making mistakes. So here we come back to the beautifulness of it. We don't have years to our life. We have revolutions around the sun. So you're endless and you're youthful all the time. And that's like the picture cocoon. The cocoon showed you that intrinsically your atomic mass, utilizing a tissue fold to interact. But the tissue fold is synchronous to the motion. Planetary systems. So when they ask the people from the other planetary systems if they'll take them and if there was anything as immortality, and the answer is very beautiful. He says, we will explore new dimensions of life, but as far as saying eternal, he didn't say immortal, he said that's unexpected. I like the way he put it, unexpected. If you expect eternalness, you're going to get disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
If you expect immortality, you're going to get the disappointment. As long as unexpected, you're always living in the now. With newer and better opportunities of exploring. So they're taking them to other dimensions of life to explore. That's his comment. Life is simple but difficult to apply. And it's true when you realize the convex vision of seeing through mass. Anytime you have the ability to bridge that time space condition, you see the simplicity yet you can't apply. It's funny. Though you can see through time, yet the clumsiness of applying yourself to it has to be there. No one can see through your clumsiness, but they can sure see through that you got to face the situation, and they can tell you the actual day you're going to face it. But to help you overcome your clumsiness to go through it, you have to work out your own clumsiness.
The ones who get to the level like Jesus and Babaji and those guys, what allows them to sustain that state without that recycling?
They got a good excuse. They said they're muddling their way through it. So pick up your cross and follow them.
Yeah, they're meddling it too.
Yeah. Well, you got to pick up your cross and follow them through the muddle. So I learned this only lesson from all of them is that rule number one, don't panic. Rule number two, don't panic. Rule number three, don't panic. Just keep muddling through.
Or
don't panic.
That's easy to say, but not always
easy to do. Well. Excuse me. You stretched the green makers today.
I'm glad it's on tape. I don't have to try and process it all now. Call Bob and ask him what
else. I'm going to have to do the same thing. Play it, maybe I'll get angry. You have it all, I know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
My eye does.
Thank you.
see already.
You've got you spark and interest. I'm going to start checking in the thing.
Up there, or, you know.
You know, Dennis.
On the very
clear. Take care.
Let's see.
Thanks for. Into the tea?
What?
Yeah.
What could we add to it?
Okay. Didn't they make it already?
Carrot juice.
You want to put carrot juice in it?
Would that be good?
Cool.
Huh?
Not that bad.
Yeah.
No, you just drink the tea like that.
Just fine. Just thinking maybe you could add something to it. Where did I stay in my sleep?
Hmm?
Where did I stay in my sleep?
Yeah, did you stay in your sleep? Yeah, you're traveling.
I was traveling. The girl that was sitting next to me said you were talking about chakras. She said I answered you, but you didn't hear me.
That's fine.
That's why I asked you about that. I was meditating, and I got this incredible urge to lay down and go to sleep. And I guess you gotta talk about the chakras.
Five.
Good for you.
I'm
awake.
Yeah.
Curiosity.
Yeah, because by that time I'm ready for traffic. I'm relaxed from traffic. Your problem is get yourself better.
Yes.
Yeah, you can travel more easily and comfort. Thank you.